Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. That far we read from that scripture passage this morning. In addition, I'm going to read a few more verses this morning. You don't have to turn to them with me, but passages of Scripture where the apostles especially confess that they are slaves of Christ. Titus 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. Paul, a servant of God. The word there is slave, doulos, slave of God. Again, James 1, verse 1, James, a servant of God, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Jude 1, verse 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, slave of Jesus Christ, and Revelation 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. The other verses were regarding the apostles, their confession. I am a slave of Christ. Revelation 1:1 says that we are all servants, slaves of Jesus Christ. In connection with all of those passages, the Heidelberg Catechism teaches us of our only comfort in life and in death in Lord's Day 1. Lord's Day 1, you'll find that on page 3 in the back of your Psalter. What is thy only comfort in life and in death? That I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who with His precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins, and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me, that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head, yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation. And therefore, by His Holy Spirit, He also assures me of eternal life, and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto Him. How many things are necessary for thee to know, that thou, enjoying this comfort, mayest live and die happily? 3. The first, how great my sins and miseries are. The second, how I may be delivered from all my sins and miseries. The third, how I shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance. Beloved congregation of Jesus Christ, is there anything more precious to the child of God than comfort? True comfort. Solid, reliable comfort. God's comfort that He gives to His church. Sometimes a child will grow up in his parents' home and be so comforted with an earthly comfort, so secure there in that home, that he's not even really aware of what it's like to be anything other than comforted. To a certain extent, that parent, of course, is glad that the child is so comforted that they don't really even think about what it's like not to have comfort. But the danger for that child is that he does not realize the comfort that he had in that home and takes that comfort for granted. And as that child grows older and hears things different from his own experience, hears of homes where there is no real comfort and security, broken homes, homes where there is discomfort, strikes that child of the security and the protection spiritually, emotionally, physically that he had in his parents' home. And he thinks, I may have taken that for granted, but no longer will I take that for granted. It's possible for God's children, especially growing up in a faithful, reformed church, that they become this way too. They live and experience such spiritual comfort for so long that they can hardly imagine what it's like to not have that comfort. And to a certain extent, I am sure that God is glad that we are that comforted as His children, if that is our experience this morning. But the danger is that we don't realize the comfort that we have. Take that comfort for granted. It's good then consider also the absolute hopelessness and comfortlessness of those who are outside of Jesus Christ, grow up without the Word of God, without a faithful, reformed congregation, without true comfort. And it's good that we realize that the hard-hearted there will not come to Jesus Christ, love to have it that way, hate the hope and the comfort that the child of God has when it's set before them, When we think about that, when we realize that, it ought to strike us anew. What a glorious hope and a glorious comfort we have in Jesus Christ. And we ought to think too, like that child growing up in his parents' home, I may be taking this comfort for granted. I may have neglected to see the importance of the truths of the Reformed faith that have given me this great comfort. And we ought to think then, I won't take them for granted any longer. Well, thank God from the bottom of my soul for them. I will defend them for my children and for my grandchildren. And I will thank God for the grace that even allows me to see, and my generations to see, that I even need this comfort. And with renewed vigor, I and my generations will boldly confess this comfort in the midst of a comfortless world. Remember, beloved, that the Heidelberg Catechism is a confession of the Church. How striking that the very first thing that the Reformed Fathers have the Church confess this morning about what we believe is that we believe we have comfort. True, reliable, sound comfort. What is it? What is it? The Catechism is questioning us this morning. You must confess this here. What is your only comfort in life and in death? Confess it. Speak it. And the congregation, as individuals and as one this morning, as it were, stands up and confesses to the whole world, my comfort, I answer you, is that I am not my own, but I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And as the world laughs at the Church for making this confession, calls her ignorant, calls her bound, not free, a slave, she does not stop her mouth, but keeps confessing. For there is nothing more precious to her in life and in death. She knows what she believes is true. Her Jesus lived and died to give her true comfort. And she knows that the world has no comfort. And though they laugh, deep down they know they have no comfort too. And throughout all the ages, she will not keep quiet, but will confess the glorious comfort in life and in death. The theme of the sermon this morning is confessing the Christian comfort. Confessing the Christian comfort. First, from a negative point of view, not my own. Second, from the positive point of view, belong to Jesus. Third, we confess that through a right knowledge. Confessing the Christian comfort, not my own, belong to Jesus, and through knowledge. Children of God, do you know how strange your confession is to the world around you? You confess here this morning that your only comfort in this life and in death is that you are owned by somebody else. That you do not belong to yourself any longer, but you belong to another. That your body, your soul, your time, your talents, your energy, absolutely everything that you are, is not your own. And that this now is not only something that affects what you do with your body, and what you do with your time, and what you do with your talents, and how you handle your soul. It is that. But that now this is what you confess is your comfort. You're confessing that you are not your own, but belong to somebody else. And that this is not just too bad. This is not just the way it is if you're going to be a Christian. It's one of those things that goes on the con side of the column, but you just have to deal with it if you're going to be a child of God. But you're confessing that this is your comfort. Your comfort is that you are owned by somebody else. The Catechism puts this confession in both a negative and positive fashion. Positively, I belong to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. And because positively I belong to somebody else, negatively I don't belong to myself. I am not my own. To not be your own means three things. Three things. That I am not my own means that I am no longer possessor of myself. I am not the owner of my mind and body and soul, my emotions, my intellect. I have no rights over myself in any degree. Secondly, to not be my own means that I am not sovereign over myself. I am not in control of my life. I am not the one who is determining my own destiny, be that my destiny a week from now or my destiny in all eternity. And third, that I am not my own means that I am not responsible for myself. I'm not responsible for myself before God. Not that I'm not accountable for my actions and words, but not responsible for myself from this point of view. I'm not responsible for the state of my body and soul before God. I do not represent myself. I am not my own. Rather, somebody else is these three things over me, is the confession this morning. You are confessing that another person possesses you, another person is sovereign over you, and another person is responsible for you. So that you join the Word of God that we read this morning that speaks of God's people as slaves of God and of Christ. You're willing to say that this morning. You're confessing that that's true for you. I am a slave of somebody else. After all, that's what a slave is, isn't it? Those three things. One who does not possess himself any longer. One who is not sovereign over himself. And one who is not ultimately responsible for himself. One who is owned by another completely. Body and soul, and has no rights over himself in any way any longer. You are confessing this morning that that is your comfort. Right there. Right there already. The world thinks that you have lost your mind. The unbelieving world does not have to go on with us any farther. They're not interested anymore after this point. You're talking about slavery to somebody else as your comfort? For one who is a part of the world, whether they are golfing this morning or whether they're seated right here this morning, for one who is a part of the world, their confession of their supposed false comfort is the exact opposite of your confession this morning. Their only comfort in life and in death, they will say, is that they are their own and belong to themselves and nobody else. For all the difficulties and all the troubles of this life, they will say, at least I have this going for me. I'm free. Nobody owns me. Nobody tells me what to do. I can do whatever I want, think whatever I want, be whatever I want. Nobody possesses me, not even a small part of me, body or soul. I am completely and totally my own. And that alone is what consoles me, they will confess. That alone is what comforts me when I think about life in the midst of this world. That's their confession. The confession of their comfort is the same as Adam and Eve when they fell in the garden. The temptation that the devil planted in them was the thought that precisely this is true, that comfort would be that I would be my own. and not belong to anybody. That if I became unhitched from God, who owns me and His sovereign rule over me, if I became responsible for myself, that would really be my comfort in life and in death. What do we want to be slaves for anyway? Comfort is to be your own. But what Adam and Eve did not see, and what the world will not see apart from grace, is that the profound truth of the gospel is that in fact the only true freedom that is to possibly be found in this world is to body and soul belong to somebody else. But not just anybody else. To belong to Jesus Christ Himself. Absolutely, totally belong to Jesus Christ. Our confession this morning, after all, is not merely that our comfort is that we belong to anybody else. Doesn't matter who he is, as long as it's not ourselves. Our comfort is that we belong to one specific person, our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, body and soul, in life and death. And that belonging to Him, all the comfort that is to be had for us. To know from all eternity, I have belonged to Him, that in the decree of election, according to His foreknowledge of me, God the Father has for nothing in myself bound me to Jesus Christ. That when He was upon His cross, dying for the sins of His own, I belonged to Him there. I was His, and He died for me. That right now in time and in space, I belong to Jesus as He sits at the right hand of God. I'm His, bound to Him by the living bond of faith, and belonging to Him is my comfort. For He possesses me, and He is sovereign over me, and He is responsible for me. Just like to not be my own means I'm not possessor of myself, not sovereign over myself, and not responsible for myself. So, to be owned by Christ, to belong to Him, means those three things. He's sovereign over me. He's responsible for me. He possesses me. And He takes all three of those things for me, for my comfort. Let's take those three things. First of all, to belong to Jesus means that I don't possess myself. And nobody else possesses me but Him, Jesus Christ. As 1 Peter 1 verses 18 and 19 say, this Jesus has redeemed me body and soul. And because He has redeemed me, He owns me. He has the rights to me. To redeem means to pay the price for one so that they can leave a bondage, leave a prison. And that's where I am by nature. I am in prison. When I am in charge of my own life, when I am sovereign over myself, when I possess myself, I place myself directly in prison. I am slave to sin and slave to the devil and death and hell. I owe to God a debt of sin. And because I could not pay that debt, the devil had rights to me. The devil owned me. The devil possessed me. But this Jesus, the Catechism says, has fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from the power of the devil. He paid the price for my sins so that I might be His possession, freed from the possession of the devil himself. He broke the devil's tyranny over me. Him possessing me, I have life, and that more abundantly. So that owned by Him now, possessed by Him now, Him having paid the price for me, I am truly free for the first time, able to live as life is supposed to be lived. That He owns me, that He possesses me is my comfort. You see, beloved, here is the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter that the world will not see. They, and we too by nature, think that our greatest comfort is to be able to do what we want, to belong to ourselves, to be our own. But the truth of the matter is that when we are our own, doing what we want, we are in fact in bondage. We are slaves to sin. For the only thing that we want by nature is sin. And our supposed freedom to do what we want is actually no freedom at all. It is slavery. The options that are here are not slavery and not slavery. The options are slavery to sin and the devil in hell, or slavery to Jesus Christ. The greatest lie that the devil ever propagated is that to be unleashed from God and to be unleashed from Christ is freedom. When the truth is, to be unleashed from Christ is bondage to sin and death and hell and destruction. Bondage at the end of the day to the devil himself. That was the lie that he got Adam and Eve to believe in the garden. He convinced them that the choice was either belong to God or belong to no one. And Adam and Eve thought, how great, how wonderful. We can have autonomy in our lives. We can be whoever we want. We shall not surely die. Adam and Eve were convinced that being unshackled from the possession of God would be a higher life. Would be to be unshackled from slavery. When in fact, when they unshackled themselves from God, they walked away from the greatest freedom that they ever had and became bound, slaves to sin. Sin owned them. They belonged to sin. Sin drove them, controlled them, and not out of love, not out of the interests of their body and soul, but for the destruction of their body and soul. And this is still the case today. As soon as one rebels against the sovereign rule of God over their life and seeks to go their own way, away from God, they walk into the arms of the devil himself, though they do not realize it, and apart from grace will not admit it. He thinks he is finding freedom in this way, but he is bound to sin and the curse and death and destruction. This is man's discomfort. And the devil is so smooth and he is so wily that he has humanity convinced that their discomfort is in fact their comfort. They think that they are free when in fact they are in the greatest bondage ever. They are locked up in a prison cell created by Satan himself, and Satan himself is the owner of the key, and their end is hell for all eternity apart from divine intervention. But to belong to Christ means that I am delivered from that prison of sin, bondage, and guilt. Christ takes the key, opens the door, makes me a servant of His, which is the way of true blessing in life and death. And though the world will not see it, my comfort is, laugh at me all you want, my comfort is to be possessed, to be owned by Jesus Christ, my faithful Savior. In order to gain possession of me, it cost Jesus Christ His life's blood. And since Jesus was willing to give His life's blood upon a cross of atonement for my sin, the Catechism rightly calls that blood precious. Precious blood. I belong to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who with His precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins. The Catechism gets that from the passage that we read this morning, 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. This blood is precious. Precious means rare, costly, and beloved. We apply that term today, don't we, to certain metals or stones. In fact, we make a distinction between semi-precious stones and precious stones. Semi-precious stones are stones that are valuable, stones that are somewhat rare, stones that we hold to be in high regard, but they're not the most valuable, they're not the most rare and the most prized. The precious stones, like the diamond or the ruby, are the rarest, the most valuable, and therefore the most beloved. And there are qualifications, of course, to be considered a precious stone. And when a stone meets those qualifications, it's prized, held dear above all other stones. Well, here in 1 Peter, the apostle is saying, we've really been misapplying that term precious. It doesn't apply to things like gold and silver and things like stones. None of those things really meet the qualification of what it takes to be precious. Only one thing is precious. The blood of Jesus Christ Himself. It's rare. It's so rare that it's the only blood, for it's the blood of a perfect man and of God Himself united to man that can pay for sins. Nobody else's blood can do that. It's infinitely valuable, for it pays the price to redeem us, body and soul, to take us out of that prison of sin and death for all eternity. And for that reason, it is to be held in highest regard above all other things. Dear, precious, beloved, the most priceless possession the child of God could ever have. Do you love this Jesus? Do you love this precious blood? Is there anything more valuable to you, beloved? What will comfort you in the dark night of the soul? At least I have my money. At least I have a nice house. At least I'm not like that person. At least I don't have that happening in my life. At least I have this going for me. Or at least I am bought. Bought, owned, possessed with the precious blood of Christ. So that I know I am His. And I do not belong to sin and the devil and death and hell. I am free, for I am a slave of Him. That's comfort. Belonging to Jesus Christ does not only mean that I am possessed by Him. Belonging to Him means, secondly, that He is sovereign over me. And that's my comfort also. He's sovereign over me, for He is in control of my destiny now, and that He is in control of the entire world, all things, for the purpose of the good destiny that He has for me. With His sovereignty, He loves me, and He preserves me, as the Catechism states, so that without the will of my Heavenly Father, not even a hair can fall from my head. The Jesus who we now see possesses us is the one who is the sovereign of the entire universe. Having accomplished redemption, God Himself rewarded His Son Jesus with all power over absolutely all things in heaven and in earth for this purpose, that He might work all things in heaven and earth for the good of His people. And belonging to Him now, being possessed by Him now, I know that I am one of those for whom He works the good of all things. Good in life and good in death. He works to make me more and more one with Him, more and more like Him, more and more faithful to Him, more and more bound to Him for His glory. Yes. As sovereign over me, He sends me pain. He sends me difficulties. He sends me struggles. And He's the one who does it. He's the one who sends me trials. Sometimes that are so difficult to be borne, often more than what the world receives. But to know that absolutely all of it is under the sovereign control of my Jesus, who possesses me and who redeemed me and who loves me and who works everything for my good. That's comfort. That's the only comfort. It can be tempting sometimes to doubt the catechism statement here that belonging to Jesus Christ is my only comfort in life and in death. Maybe you say, I can understand my only comfort in death. That makes sense. What else do I have to hang on to but Him who redeemed me, paid the price for my sins, and delivers me from the power of the devil, who opens the way for me to go to heaven when I die and not to go to hell? That makes sense. He's my only comfort in death, but in life, I'm not so sure that He's my only comfort in life. After all, when those trials, those difficulties, those struggles in life, those pains, those worries come upon me, don't I have lots of comforts? When I am very sick, and I go to the doctor, and that doctor tells me that there's nothing he can do for me, there's really no hope possible. But then I go to another doctor, and that doctor tells me, well, there is something. There is a new medication that has just come out, and that will cure you. That will take care of it for you. I can assure you, preacher, that that's a comfort to me. Children, if you take a test at school and you get an F on that test, and now you have to go home and tell your parents that you're going to flunk fifth grade, but then your teacher tells you after class that you may take that test over again and that she'll split the difference between the two grades for you. Every child knows that's a comfort. It's a comfort. You can understand the catechism saying that belonging to Jesus Christ is comfort, and maybe even the chief comfort in life. But is it really the only comfort that I experience? We have to understand, beloved, is that though that message from the teacher to the child is comforting in a relative sense, the catechism is still absolutely correct here. This is my only comfort, that I belong to Christ. Think about it carefully, and think about it from the point of view of Christ's sovereignty. The second thing now, Christ's sovereignty over me for my good. If I did not belong to Jesus Christ, everything that happened to me would not be for me, but it would be against me. Everything. Every last thing. Even things that I take as something that's somewhat comforting to me, that brings me some good news in my life, even that would be against me if I did not belong to Jesus Christ. And it wouldn't matter then if I could take that test over again or not. It wouldn't matter if I died of that disease or if I was cured. It wouldn't matter if the meds worked and I lived or if they didn't work and I died. I would be subject to God's sovereign curse in all of it, in everything. Whether it's good news I receive or bad news I receive, it would all be against me. Both scenarios, good news or bad news, minor comfort or minor difficulty would be God in His sovereignty cursing me, leading me to the destruction of hell. Therefore, you see, even the little comforts in my life are robbed of their comforting power if I do not belong to Jesus Christ. The good things that I take some small comfort in, along with the bad things, work for my destruction. But when I belong to Jesus, everything's different. Everything's different. Because I belong to Jesus, His sovereignty over absolutely every single thing that happens to me is for my good now in my life. And that allows those other little comforts that happen to me to truly be little comforts to me. When I am jobless, my family needs health care, and I hear that there is a job for me, that can actually be of some comfort to me, because this is God in His sovereignty working for me and not against me. It's for my salvation eventually. I can see His love behind that and truly be comforted. But not only that, if I am jobless and another month goes by, and there is still no job for me, and I need health care for my family, even that is a blessing for me. For my Jesus, who redeemed me, and who possesses me, who owns me, works everything for my salvation. Everything. Not just the things that I take small comfort in, not just the things that make me happy, but the struggles and the pains and difficulties too. My Jesus is so sovereign and so for me in His sovereignty that I cannot possibly be touched in this life. Try to destroy me, it works for my eternal good. Try to bruise me, and it is for my betterment. I cannot possibly be worked against. Even the negative things in this life are to my credit. Such is the overwhelming comfort of belonging to this Jesus. Not only the good and the bad things work for me, but the big and the little things. Everything that takes place in this entire universe, even as the Catechism says, a little hair falling from my head has been determined by my sovereign Jesus. My good. Nothing is outside of His sovereign control. And because He possesses me now, because I belong to Him now, all things are controlled for my good and the good of the church. This is the only comfort in life and in death, for without it, all other comforts are vanity. Finally, thirdly, belonging to Jesus, I have the comfort that He is responsible for me. Oh, beloved, how comforting. When you belong to Jesus Christ, you belong to the triune God like a child belongs to his parents. And parents are responsible for their children. I remember one time as a small boy, I'm sure you have a similar memory, I went to the store with my mother and I reached out of the cart, pulled something off of the shelf and broke it. And the result of that was that my mother paid for that broken jar. She paid for it on my behalf. She spanked me when I got home because of it, but she paid the price, for she was responsible for me. And this is the spiritual position and the spiritual experience of one who is not his own, but belongs to his faithful Savior Jesus Christ, body and soul. Christ is responsible for me now, completely. He'll chastise me, no doubt about it. He'll give me a spanking. He'll grow me as part of His love for me in my life. But He pays the price for my rebellions, for my failures. My life before God is His work, His responsibility. And though, as part of that work, He calls out to me in His Word and calls me to be responsible, ultimately, at the end of the day, I am His responsibility. He's responsible for my repentance for my sins. He's responsible for my faith. He's responsible for my sanctification. It's His job to work sorrow in my heart, not my own. It's His job to conform me to the image of Jesus Christ. It's His job to work faith in me. And He will. I'm in His hands. I belong to Him. He has me. He's responsible for me. It's not up to me. And when I fall, when I fail, He pays the penalty that I incur. He's responsible for my failures. He pays the price before God. He's responsible for my body and for my soul. It's His responsibility to bring my soul to heaven on the day of my death. It's His responsibility to raise my body out of that ugly grave and to unite it to my soul one day. He will do it! Heaven forbid, beloved, that I fall to the devil's lies, that there's comfort to be found from not belonging to this Jesus. That somehow being responsible for myself, sovereign over myself, possessor of myself, is true life and true freedom. Then I stand before God. And the only advocate that I have is that devil standing right there. Because when I don't belong to Jesus, I belong to Him. And He's going to say to God, "The body of that man is mine, God. And the soul of that man is mine." And He will be 100% correct. Here is my comfort. I belong to my faithful Savior. To be a slave of His in complete possession is freedom, joy, comfort, life and death. Do you know this comfort, child of God? It has been set before you, the true and only comfort. You join the Church of Christ this morning, making this confession of this only comfort. I can't speak for you this morning. And I'm not going to. And I'm not going to put words in your mouth this morning. You must confess it yourself. As you stand before the living God, and as you stand before all the world out there, the Catechism will allow nothing else. And it won't let us say nothing either. Forces the question upon you this morning. What is your only comfort? You, what is your only comfort? What do you have to say? Catechism is a personal confession. The first question is not, what is comfort generally, but what is thy comfort? And the second question is not, how can people generally enjoy this comfort? But how can you enjoy it? And how do you know that you have it and enjoy it? And so that you may personally stand up, make this confession before God and before the whole world this morning, the Catechism tells you how you may be sure that this comfort is yours. And the answer is, you must know some things. You must know some things. For comfort is found in right personal knowledge. Comfort, beloved, is a state of mind. It is knowledge. Knowledge that things are favorable for me as opposed to unfavorable. Comfort is not merely a feeling. Feelings are vague and feelings are changeable. And if my enjoyment of comfort is based upon my feelings, I would lose comfort and gain it and lose it and gain it. I could never answer the question that the Catechism puts to me with any certainty or any consistency. I would say one minute that this is what my comfort is. I belong to Jesus Christ. And another minute, I hope I belong to Him. We'll see. For one minute I feel like I do, and another minute I don't. Comfort cannot be based upon how I feel. Instead, how I feel is based upon what I know. The Catechism does not say, therefore, how many things are necessary for you to feel to enjoy this comfort. The Catechism says, how many things are necessary for you to know to enjoy this comfort? And it answers first, you must know personally how great my sins and miseries are. Do you know that standing before God this morning? Not how great other people's sins and miseries are. I can't believe that person. Look what they do. Me. How great mine are. Me as I stand before the peerless holiness of the God of heaven and earth. And like Isaiah, cry out, I am a man of unclean lips, O God. I am the chief sinner that there is. I know better, and yet I sin. So wretched am I. My Jesus owns me at the cost of His precious blood. And yet I act sometimes like sin owns me, like the devil owns me. In fact, I even still seek comfort by being loosed from Him sometimes, though I know it will bring me no comfort. I know that this world has no comfort to offer. I know that the only comfort is belonging to Jesus Christ, to be a slave of the Lord. And yet I have looked elsewhere for comfort in my life, O God. I've looked to pleasure, looked to praise of men, looked to food, to drink, to alcohol, to sex, to success, to money, to position, to the affections of other people. You know, beloved, that every time we look for comfort somewhere other than Jesus Christ, we are looking to find comfort by belonging to something other than Him. We're doing what Adam and Eve did in the garden. We're doing it all over again. We're believing the lie of the devil that comfort is to be found in not belonging to Jesus Christ, but in doing what I want to do. So that when the Catechism speaks of the first knowledge of knowing our sins, we don't have to go very far, do we? Our sin is exposed right here in Lord's Day 1. That I give myself as slave to other things or to people, looking to gain comfort from them. When we turn to things other than Jesus Christ, why do we do that, beloved? It's because we think there is comfort to be found in belonging to them as opposed to belonging to Him. Affirmation from others. There is comfort to be found with you, I think. Own me. I want to belong to you. Comfort me. Alcohol, I think there is comfort to be found with you. I want to belong to you. Own me, alcohol. Comfort me. Possessions, money, wealth, position. I have believed the devil's lie. I do believe there is comfort to be found in you. I want to belong to you. Own me. Take possession of me. Be sovereign over me, and I will be comforted. I've had a rough day at work. Own me, television. I want to belong to you, for there is comfort. I've had difficulty with the children today. I want to belong to you, self-pity. Own me, possess me, be sovereign over me. I will have comfort in you. That's our sin. Do you know it? Do you see it? We are subject to hell for seeking our comfort elsewhere. We are subject to God's curse in life and death for believing the devil's lies. They bind us in a prison. Who will deliver us? Who is going to rescue us? Only in seeing sin for what it is will you and I be driven to see our need for a deliverer, redeemer, savior, comforter, so that we say, "Own me, Lord Jesus Christ. Possess me. Take me out of this prison of sin and death and hell. I want to belong to Thee." And that's the second thing that I must know to enjoy this comfort. That He delivers His people. That He gives them righteousness and takes away their unrighteousness. So that I say, I want to give up my rights. I want Him to be sovereign over me. I give myself to Him to possess me, to control my destiny, to be responsible for me. He is my Savior. And then thirdly, I must know how I may express my gratitude to God for such deliverance. How to serve Him, how to love Him, for I belong to Him now. He owns me. He possesses me. He's the master of my life and soul. I am His willing slave by sovereign grace alone. Rule me, Lord Jesus, and show me how in Thy Word. In other words, beloved, we must know the gospel of Jesus Christ. Always, and ever knowing, and always, and ever coming back to that threefold knowledge of the gospel, knowing it more deeply as we are more and more aware of how sinful we are and how gracious He is. And knowing this for ourselves personally, we may be sure, rock solid sure, that we belong to this Jesus. For knowing that personally is faith. And faith is what binds me to Him. I belong to Him. And belonging to Him, we may enjoy comfort. Even when we don't feel like it, we may enjoy comfort. And even when we don't think we're worthy of enjoying it, we may enjoy comfort. Even when our conscience rises against us and the devil accuses us, even in the darkness of pain and distress, we may enjoy this comfort. We need no priest to give it to us, no works to ensure that we may have it. It is yours. Yours in your life. For fear does not bind you. You belong to Jesus. In death, for fear does not bind you. Christ is responsible for you. I belong to Him and to no other. Let's not take this comfort for granted, beloved. There is nothing more precious in all of life and death than this. Instead, with every true believer, let's cry out, "Blessed be God. I belong to Jesus." Amen. Let us pray.